The sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month. Experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned. Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
What's up, Chuck? How are you, man?
I'm doing okay, Ty. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a Thursday rolling along. I know that the baseball team got it done last night, but still the most texts we get on the McCarty-Daniel hotline about this basketball team. And saw that Big Z signed yesterday. Have you been working on his pronunciation yet? I know that's coming.
Well, the pronunciation. Is Zvonimir Ivicic. You got to remember, we played him last year. I mean, we played him this past season. It's not going to be my first time. But, yeah, I think most people will call him Big Z, but it's Zvonimir, or at least that's the Americanized way, Zvonimir and Ivicic.
Oh, he's the first one on the list. And we had a 24/7 sports guy on yesterday, Travis Branham. He kind of gave us some thoughts on who Arkansas might be going after. And here's what he said particularly about some Kentucky players, both commits and former players, that you should keep an eye on too.
Guys who I'm looking at next going to be DJ Wagner, Jaden Quainton, Carter Knox, Boogie Flynn, and Billy Richmond, just reopened it yesterday. Now, Santos Iroh was one of those guys that opened it up, was part of his 2024 recruiting class. Now, I think his situation is a bit more open at this point in time, and wouldn't be a surprise to see him end up elsewhere.
So you heard Travis Branham talk about DJ Wagner, who was a freshman, along with Dillian Hammond-Shepherd last year, big part of that team. Had okay numbers, but could take a bigger step in his sophomore. Quaintance is the best player of that class that decommitted. Cal had six guys committed to Kentucky. Five of the six have gotten out of their national letter of intent or decommitted. Carter Knox, who we talked about a little bit, his younger brother or older brother Kevin played at Kentucky under Cal, and then also Billy Richmond, who just mostly notably recently just got out of his commitment as well. So that's, I mean, Chuck, that's four guys right there that you could potentially wind up seeing in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Well, I think people wonder about that, and it's only natural that they would, you know, given the fact that, you know, they've got their history with Coach Calipari. The thing that I think is going on right now, this is just my opinion, is that with a lot of these guys who've gone into the portal, they've also got NBA possibilities. And, you know, we've not been in a situation in the past where, just to be real blunt, I mean, you know, the guys that Musk brought in, good players, helped us win a lot of games, but they weren't mulling whether or not to stay in college or go to the NBA. They were going to a different college to play, and that was, you know, all said and done. I think some of these guys, and, you know, I know I sound like a broken record, but he told us about this in the press conference last week, that
yes,
it may take a bit because some of these guys are contemplating the NBA. So it may take a little bit. We can't seem to process that because we've not been in a situation before where the majority of the players our coach is recruiting are considering whether they're going into the NBA or not. So I think that's what's going on right now.
And is that so you got till April the 30th, and I just want to be clear, that's where guys can enter until April the 3rd. I think that's the key distinction on this, Chuck, where people are freaking out is because they think Arkansas fans, and maybe some of you listening, are confused on the idea that you have to have your roster solidified by April the 30th. That is not the case. And by the way, that's just the limitations for underclassmen. Upperclassmen and graduates, have the chance to enter at any point. They're not restricted by those confines, but that's just the guys that can enter in that time frame from April 16th to April 30th.
Well, first off, I want to be clear on this. I've not run into many people who are worried about this. I mean, I hear media people talking about it, but I've not run into a single fan who's really worried about it. They know his track record, and they're smart enough to know what's going on. I mean, you know, they saw the pictures of him at the Overtime Elite camp. They understand how this works. So I don't think people are freaking out over this. Again, I think some people are bringing it up, but I don't get the sense people are up in arms over it.
Tommy asked a good question yesterday, and it wasn't about the players, about the staff. And you've seen reports about certain guys that he's going to, it seemed like a good chunk of his Kentucky staff, including his son who was on Vandy last year, potentially could come over. I know a lot of Arkansas, our audience has been asking the questions about Ronnie Brewer, who's been on staff under Muss. Joe Johnson, according to Kevin McPherson, is possibly a candidate for a position on Cal's staff. For whatever reason, Arkansas fans, and I am akin to it to a certain degree, like having a former Razorback on staff. I wonder if that is something that he will end up doing ultimately with his staff, if keeping someone on with ties player-wise with this Arkansas program. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Well, Joe Johnson certainly is a player with Arkansas ties, and I don't know if Joe's going to actually join the staff or not. I heard the report. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I know people do like that. You're right about that.
You got to figure out why he would want to. I mean, with the money he's made, why would he want to tie himself down? Now, if you're going to go get someone, his or Brewer's resume is the one you want. Cal's whole deal is how do you get to the NBA, and that's why you go play for Coach Cal. He's got that track record. Well, you want people around you, much like Muss did, that have that NBA experience, and those guys check those boxes.
Well, you ask why he wants to do it. I thought it was – and Chuck, I think you said – I think you found out from Joe maybe a week or so ago the last time he'd been, but, I mean, everyone was asking the question when we saw Joe Johnson at Bud Walton Arena, when's the last time he's been here? And it had been quite some time. So evidently there is a connection or at least a strong belief enough that would get him to campus back. Now, I don't know, again, like you're saying, if that would lead him to want to be a coach or if there would be mutual interest from Cal as well. But I do know the announcement of John Calipari, your head coach, obviously made enough of an impact for him to get up to Bud Walton Arena. And he's got plenty of other things probably going on, but that it made an impact, apparently.
Well, he's tight with Cal, but... And I suspect he'll probably have a hand in the program, but I don't know if he's going to coach or not. I don't know. And look, I think you know, we get hung up on a lot of this in-state stuff and former guys, and that's nice, and I like it as much as anybody does. But when you hire a coach, you let him do whatever he wants. You let him bring in whoever he wants. If he worked, you know, if they're part of the program or have been in the past, that's great. But he's got to bring in who he wants, and I'm sure he will.
One of the guys that he may be interested in, Paul Benicardi, is an ESPN basketball recruiting analyst and saying that Cal visited Liam McNeely yesterday, who's a top 15 kid, best uncommitted prospect in the country. He evidently had a conversation with Mark Pope via Zoom. He's got an upcoming visit with Dan Hurley and the Connecticut Huskies. And again, is one of the more valuable players right now that has not decided where he's going to school at some point. You've seen these, again, we mentioned some of the players off the top that Travis Branham mentioned, but it is just amazing to me that in Cal's first year, you could potentially have the best recruiting class that you have ever had. Think about
that.
Well,
let's go easy on the superlatives. Let's go easy on all that. They're going to have a good class, and it's going to be highly rated, and there's going to be unprecedented talent. But let's.
I don't think you have to. I really don't.
And Ty, we've had the best and the greatest and the best of all time on this show probably half a dozen times over the last 6-8 months. Not everything is the best or the greatest.
I realize that, but
it's going to be a really good class.
Okay, if you look at the rankings, Chuck, and where guys
are
at.
I'm not going to get into the weeds on whether it's potentially the best of all time. That if you want to have that debate, you can have it with somebody else. I think it's going to be a really good class, and I'm looking forward to seeing who's in it. But whether or not it's going to be the best of all time, I don't know that.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it could potentially be there in year number one based on where guys are currently ranked in these different recruiting rankings and based on who Cal is supposedly going after and linked to, like Travis Branham was telling yesterday. That's what it's so intriguing to me. We saw Musk pull in the second or third, depending on where you fall, recruiting class in his second year, and you could potentially have that from the jump with guys that are not as...
I think it's fair to say there's the potential for this to be a very highly rated class. Ty, you don't remember when we had the number one class in the country.
Since the recruiting rankings have been started.
Well, they had recruiting rankings in the mid-90s, and Arkansas had the number one class in the country. So this is not unprecedented. It's exciting. It's exciting. And I'm right there with you. But let's just hold off on calling it the best or the greatest until we actually know who they are.
It was not followed as much in the 90s. There was not,
I'm not debating that. I don't know why you're hung up on this. I don't understand why you're hung up on this.
I'm not hung up on it. I made a statement, and you pushed back against it. And
I'm saying let's hold off on saying it's the best.
Okay, all right. I will hold off, and then when it ends up being the best from a recruiting ranking standpoint, I will come back on it.
You can crow. I don't know how you get any higher than number one.
I'll crow a little bit because the rankings actually been started since 2000 or so.
Oh, God.
But
okay.
Hang on.
Let me ask this question. Hang on. Has Connecticut had the greatest classes of all time the last 2 or 3 years?
No, Hurley's done it with different transfers and other stuff. So you can win it different ways. I'm not pushing back on that at all. And Hurley just got the Michigan
transfer. To know. So,
okay. I mean, Cal's had, again, great recruiting classes at Kentucky, number one, number two. This class was number two that he had, and they haven't done squat in the postseason. I'm not saying that's the only way to do it. We mentioned yesterday it's a formula. It's freshmen. It's the guys that you've had on campus, and then it's the transfers. Similar to what Connecticut was able to do with not just this year, but 2 years ago as well. You can't just do it one way. We've seen that in college basketball nowadays. And Hurley is, again, he's also in line apparently for this Liam McNeely kid. I don't know if I'm being honest, if I'm a young man, and I think Cal's one of the best, if not the best recruiters in the country, I don't know how you don't choose Connecticut. I really don't. I think that Storrs right now, what they've established with that basketball team and they've had over the years with Calhoun and stuff, I really don't know if you have an opportunity to go Kentucky, Arkansas, Connecticut. I would honestly, wholeheartedly choose the Huskies. And I just think what they built, what he's established, it's really difficult to go up against him right now. And that's what Cal's going to have to do because that's the players that he's in line for.
Well, I'm glad you're not recruiting for Arkansas, man.
I'm not a coach. I'm just looking at what I'm seeing in front of me. I mean, that is what Arkansas, with the caliber of players that they're going after, that's what you have to go up against. You're not recruiting against that second tier, that third tier program anymore. You're recruiting against the big dogs, and Cal's having to do it, whether he says Arkansas is a blue blood or not, at a program that doesn't have the same national brand as the others that he's going up against. He's the coach that has that brand, but he does not have that brand as a team itself.
Well, if you're saying has Arkansas had as much success the last few years as UConn, no. If you're saying is Dan Hurley as big a star as John Calipari, the answer is also no. So, I mean, Cal's his own brand. And, those kids that are considering him right now, I mean, we'd like to believe in our heart of hearts they can't wait to get to Arkansas. But in reality, you look at the kids that he signed, and they wanted to play for John Calipari. And I don't think that's going to change. So I don't think it's a hindrance in recruiting at all, because if you look at his track record, I don't know that, for example, Derrick Rose left Chicago because he always wanted to live in Memphis. I don't think some of these kids that played for Cal at Kentucky went to Lexington because they always wanted to live there and go to the horse races. I think they went to play for Cal. And so I don't think anything's going to change.
JT in Hot Springs saying, if you choose Connecticut or anywhere else over Fayetteville, then you don't have the heart of a Razorback. I think a lot of people might feel that way. All right, let's talk to JR this morning, who's on the McLarty Daniel hotline. JR, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. We're doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Chuck, you got your thinking cap on. I got a question for you.
All right, I'm ready.
I'm not going to hold you to it. I just want some information for the layman Razorback fan out there. So this is my question. What do you know what kind of placement there is for this NIL distribution through the edge? Is it a board that decides what player gets what money, or is it one person that does that? Do you have any inside information on that for the just the common everyday Razorback fan to understand what how that takes place?
Well, there's, you know, in terms of all the machinations, I'm not privy to all of them, no. There's not a board, per se, that decides. This is not like a board that doles out money from the kitty to people that they deem to be worthy. These are deals that are struck. And some of them are struck collectively, but a lot of them are struck individually, too. And so there's not a, you know, the money's, and I'm putting it very simply, I mean, the money's collected. It's in the NIL fund. And, you know, these guys cut deals on what they're going to get. So, but there's no board, per se, that makes that decision.
Yeah. I kind of imagine they dole it out by sport, and the coach has a lot more input on how it gets doled out within his sport, would be my guess.
The head coaches aren't supposed to have direct hands in it, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on that they're not really supposed to. It's not really supposed to work that
way. But it's happening either way. So I saw on the subject of NIL, I saw this the D1 Council. That kind of bleeds into this next conversation, that they're going to adapt, allow schools to assist student-athletes with NIL opportunities. And anytime you make $600 or more, you've got to, again, let people know about it. Now, it's got to get ratified today. But, I mean, I think I was reading this last night, and then I read it again this morning, and I felt like that this is already going on. Is it not? Whether it's behind it, are they just making it legal now? Because kind of like you said, I feel like that even though that it's publicly, it's not happening, it 100% is happening behind closed doors. And I guess they're just waving the magic wand over and saying, I guess this is okay now.
Well, every time they say this is not okay, somebody challenges it and they lose. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, what you're reading there, what it means. That's the first that I've heard of that, honestly.
Well, it's saying like member schools could be able to increase their NIL related support for student athletes, and it's identifying NIL opportunities and facilitating deals between student athletes and third parties, and provide a reasonable grace period to student athletes who do not report NIL information within 30 days. I thought this was already going on, like I said, and apparently maybe they don't want to lose another debate, another courtroom battle, but that was what happened yesterday, and apparently it's going to get...
What do you think it means? I mean, I'm asking because I don't know.
Because like you said, I mean... I don't think they want to lose again, so there's pushback on this initially, and from the schools, and then the NCAA is like, okay, we don't want to have to deal with another courtroom stuff and a battle and everything. Think back to the Tennessee deal, for example, with Nico, or allegedly, put the allegedly around it, Nico Ilmoleva, who apparently got in trouble. The rumors and reports were out there that the Tennessee got in trouble because of the pre-contact and their NIL connection and whatnot. It seems like that, again, Division I Council with the NCAA is just going to let stuff go like this from here on out if this thing is ratified later on today.
Well, it some of these, I don't know the ins and outs of this, Ty. I don't know why it was proposed. You may know more about that, but this is all new to me. I don't know what it means. So you'll just have to enlighten me, I guess.
I'm going to be honest. I read the page on it last night, and that was all they had. It was about a page release. There didn't seem to be a lot of expanded talk on this other than the announcement yesterday that sounds like it's going to go into effect today. So I guess we'll have to
I don't know what it means. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that it's anything we'll even notice.
I guess we'll have to see it in action before it plays out. But Arkansas, again, with the NIL seemingly happening for the basketball program, I think that is a good question that JR asked, because I know we had Chris Bauer on, who's the executive director, a couple weeks ago, and I think a lot of people, if they're going to invest in NIL, it's going to be in the baseball or basketball program. I don't know how many people are willing to invest in this football team right now. I think what has to happen is you have to show progress this year, and then I think more people will be apt to invest football-wise in NIL, because they're a little skittish. They're a little scared after what happened last season. I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit. So,
well, let's really put this under the microscope. I think if people have the idea that this groundswell of support in our state is going to make us the richest NIL fund in America, that's a little bit naive. Now, you want that support, and as I've said before, I think a groundswell from the bottom makes people at the top more inclined to do more. But let's be honest here on this basketball thing. Mm. Ty, you're talking about people believe more in the basketball program. This has not been there was not, when Musk left for USC, there was not this groundswell of support in NIL saying, let's go get a great coach and great players. It was one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one or two people. So I wouldn't put too much emphasis. I I've said this. I think it's very important, for example, that they're trying to grow the roles, so to speak, of NIL. But if you're going to be rich, if you're going to be flush, it's got to be one or two people doing it. So, and in the case of our situation, if you look at it honestly, the one person that is going to be, at least from what we understand, involved in it the most is the one who also wanted the coach. I mean, it was his friend. So sometimes to have a situation where you're suddenly flush with cash, it has a lot more to do with one or two big boosters than it does a groundswell of support from your fan base. You need the groundswell, but you need the one or two people even more. I don't know how else to put it.
I think that's fair. I just wonder if Sam Pittman is the guy that's going to be able to invoke that check. Is he going to be the head football coach at this university where a booster has enough faith and enough stock in him as a coach? Because that's what it is in Cal. And then I think Dave Van Horn has the track record over and over again to show you that investment's going to pay off. And whether it's one, two, or more of the guys, because I tend to agree with you.
Do we know that the baseball NIL is flush? Excuse me for interrupting, but do you actually know that?
I think if you look at the players and the guys that they're able to...
I think if you ask them, they would tell you it might not be that way.
Well, Dave said, I remember him talking about it. He said, well, I mean, we can always use more money. And is it the number one in the country? I don't think so. I think that LSU, based on who they were able to get last year and Tanks and Skeens, would probably tell you that that might
I'll
be.
I'll bet you there's a whole lot more money going to football NIL than baseball.
There's
NIL.
No question, but then you compare what Arkansas baseball
you're
has.
You're just talking about success. You're just talking about success of the programs and winning games.
Which invites people to invest their money because they feel like, even though it's not a direct return on money-wise, they feel like it's a return on their investment based on wins. That's what I'm saying.
So do you – now you may know more about it than I do. If I were to call up Arkansas Edge, are they going to say, well, do you want to go to football, basketball, or baseball? Did they ask you that?
Chris – I was reading a report to Chris Bauer.
You had him on the show.
Yeah. I don't know if we asked him that question, but I was reading something in Whole Hog Sports that the majority goes to football, basketball, baseball. I don't remember if he said it was direct or not. That's a good question. Maybe we should ask him again.
I think that they probably end up paying out the most money in those sports, but I don't know that fans have the option of saying, I want it to go here and not here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Have you heard? Sling TV offers the news you love for less.
Hey, wait, you look and sound just like me.
I am you. I'm the same news programs on Sling TV for less.
You mean you're me, but for less money?
A lot less. I'm all the favorite news programs and more on Sling TV, starting at just $40 a month. Everything great about me, but for less money? Which makes me greater, don't you think? Get the news you love and more for less.
Start saving today. Visit sling.com to see your offer.
Sling.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Before we get to our friend Tom Murphy, Jeremy from Jefferson, Missouri is here with us. He had some thoughts this morning. He is an Arkansas Edge member and wanted to educate us on some stuff. Jeremy, go ahead, man.
Yeah, guys, how are you going today?
Good.
Yeah, I'm an Edge member, and on the website, it does have where you can choose if you want to go to the general revenue or a particular sport.
Okay.
So you do have the option.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for pointing that out.
I know that was what some people, we've gotten some text here the last few days and last few weeks about that question. I know they're trying to educate as many Arkansas fans as possible just on that subject, because I don't... Yet it's hard to get everyone's attention and let everyone know about it via email, via text, via call, or whatever. But evidently, that is what you can do.
It's
It's just like church when I was a kid. You can put on the offering envelope whether you wanted to go to missions ministries or the children's ministry or the choir robes or the new fellowship hall. So I mean that's exactly how you could allocate your offering at church when I was a kid. The new building fund, we're going to put it in that one. So
that was what
it's along those lines.
I know Derek and Zach always joke about that they should put the Arkansas Edge Initiative in church or pass around offering plates at football, basketball, and baseball games. Yeah. I haven't seen them go about it just
yet. We're going to give it to the Lottie Moon Fund. We're going to give it to Lottie Moon Missionary Fund.
Yeah. So. All right, Tom Murphy is with us now with Whole Hog Sports and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, the Arkansas baseball team wins again last night. 25 straight at home. You saw a team come from behind once again. Now they traveled to South Carolina this weekend, a team that Dave Van Horn was very complimentary of. The hitting that South Carolina has in the middle of the order, veteran guys, how do they kind of stymie that, starting with Hagan Smith tomorrow night?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Well, first of all, compliments to Texas Tech. Man, a big-time hitting team. They were up 7-0 two nights ago, the game I covered. And just 300-plus hitters all up and down their lineup, power, you know, the whole thing, gap hitters. And Arkansas had to fight back. I mean, it looked pretty dire there, you know. You got shut out, you know, the game before at Alabama, and then you're down 7-0. I mean, it was a night game, so I already had a lead written that, you know, wasn't good. And they came back and won it. So South Carolina's hitters, it's like Dave said, it's like all the SEC teams we play. There's always going to be some power guys, some dudes in the middle of the order that are really tough to work around. I mean, LSU had them, you know, although Tommy White batted higher in the lineup. But, you know, Hagan's been on a good roll lately. He's been more efficient this year. And even though he didn't have the strikeout pitch going so much against Bama, you know he's going to fight and give you a chance. So it's the middle two. I mean, Molina came back, and after the, you know, early eruption from Bama last week, he fought back and really gave Arkansas a chance to win. It's the bats that have to come alive. After what Alabama did to them, you know every SEC team is going to study that video on what pitches they struggle with and how to get them out. And it looks like Aloy was a little bit more back to chasing some stuff against Texas Tech and Bama, and he's got to get back to what helped him rise up to – he went over 300 in one of the two games the week before against San Jose State, and now I think he's back in the 270s. So, you know, the middle of Arkansas's order, Kendall Diggs, they need him back. Turns out he had a little shoulder issue. So they're in a little bit of a worry mode, if you ask me, about – what's going to happen with some of their key hitting guys to get back on track.
Yeah, you mentioned Kendall Diggs. It sounds like he's going to practice today and play tomorrow, according to Dave. It sounds also like Payton Holt's going to start in the outfield. So how do you reorchestrate not just the outfield but the lineup if both those things are going to come into effect, Tom?
That's a great question. I mean, we're past the halfway point of the season, and I think – you know, they say that all the guys who aren't playing are being good teammates and all, but you've had guys like Jack Wagner who sat for 2 weeks in a row and then have come in and hit a home run in a game and really contributed, and he got a little action in the two-game series against Texas Tech. Holt sat for a substantial amount of time when Sousa was hot and Jared Sprague-Lott was playing well. I mean, when this season started, it felt like Holt was going to get the first shot at third base. And then Jared Sprague-Lott would be kind of the odd man out, the utility guy. But then when Stovall got hurt, it gave Sprague-Lott a chance, and he's been very effective. I mean, he had a two-error game, I think, down in Arlington. But since then, his defense has been much better, and he's been one of the most consistent hitters they've had. So it's been really fun to watch how they piece things together. I mean, Jason Jones comes back and hits two doubles in the first game against Texas Tech when they really needed them. Out in left field. And so Will Edmondson has had his moments. You know, Wilmsmeyer is a guy, you love his defense, you love his speed, but he's got to hit more. So they have really had to piece it together. Different guys have played right when Diggs has rested the last two midweeks. So if he's healthy, he'll be back in there. And if his back can come around and the shoulder isn't that big of an issue, it just makes Arkansas all the much stronger.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Tom, is all of this concern, and we hear a lot of it on our show, and maybe we're spreading a bit too much of it, is the concern with the hitting warranted, or is this something we should pay more or less attention to as the season unfolds?
Probably the attention is about where it should be, because there is a concern, and in some of their end of season, you know the defeats that have knocked them out of the tournament in recent years, they've just not hit in those games. You know, you think back to the Ole Miss game in 22, got shut out. The Oregon State game in 18, you know, I think it was 5-0 in the final. So there's a level of concern. I think they have guys when they put the pieces together, they can be a good hitting team. But you do need Aloy and Diggs as being part of it. And I haven't mentioned McLaughlin. He's been pretty consistent. And he's batted anywhere from, 2-5 in the lineup and has been pretty good. So it's just a consistency factor. And if you get Diggs back with his shoulder, you feel like they're going to start building back up offensively.
Yeah. I don't know how much you've looked at the schedule around the league. It's a blockbuster weekend in SEC baseball. You mentioned Arkansas and South Carolina, two top 20 teams, with Carolina at 20. You got Tennessee and Kentucky playing, Bama in a big series. I mean, I don't want to say it's separation weekend or separation Saturday, but this is a big weekend for the standings in this conference.
Really, really is. And I think it's A&M at Bama. And the way Bama played.
It is.
The way Bama played last weekend, I mean, they pitched. I mean, they looked like a different team than the one that had been struggling a little bit. So you feel like they're going to give A&M a good run at it. A&M's offense has been incredible, and their pitching has been strong too. So, I mean, they move it up to number one because they've been on such a run right behind Arkansas until last weekend. So you're right. Kentucky's just been the out of the blue. Where did that come from? And they've done it weekend after weekend. And, you know, you sweep Missouri or somebody, you're like, okay, you know, they're going to run into a hot team, but they haven't. And they've been beating everybody. So Tennessee, you know, if they're going to get back in it, they need to win the series this weekend. And it's just been weird to see Kentucky way up there, and then Tennessee and Vandy, who've been hot in recent years, they're playing catch-up, right? And Florida, too, having to play catch-up in the East.
Tom, basketball question for you as he's with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Arkansas put out a press release that they signed Big Z yesterday. Are you expecting more additions by the end of this weekend?
I would think so. And, you know, he's on to a bunch of guys, and we'll see how all this plays out. I would not have a great level of concern about that. I'm going to say one thing on a sidelight right here. I, for one, am really going to miss the division in the SEC. Houston Nutt went on a lament about this, during the offseason, but that the divisions in football, I mean, they're going away. The divisions in division in basketball have gone away, and I don't like it as much. And in baseball, it's just not going to feel right. It's not going to feel the same. Everybody's just clustered in there together. I don't like it.
So on that note, these super team divisions in the Super League, I'm assuming that you're completely wholeheartedly against that proposal. And if you are, do you still think it might happen in the coming years?
Well, I don't know. I look at that and I started to think, you know, more geographically sound. You'd have to have a lot of schools sign off on it. The Pac-12 was the one that you look at USC and UCLA and traveling all over. Super long trips for their volleyball teams and softball and all that. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know. I think some sound reason. I'm not opposed to that thing that got leaked, the 70 teams. I don't know. You have all these contracts with the SEC, and you'd have to work around a lot of stuff, and a lot of teams would have to part ways with, you know, long-time partners. The SEC football, or that South thing in football, would be massive. And then there's like the one called the Plains. That didn't look like a very strong football division, but I don't know if that's really workable. It doesn't seem feasible, but I would like more sanity, and instead of superpower conferences, something more along these lines.
Tom, we'll leave it there, man. We appreciate it. go ahead. Sorry, we'll leave it there. Tom, we appreciate your time this morning, and we'll chat it up on Tuesday. Probably get some new news on the basketball side of things, and we'll see how they do in Columbia this weekend.
Yep, sounds like a plan. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel hotline. I think changing up those divisions would be interesting, but, you know, that's not the way it's going to be. Chuck, I think this is an interesting phase, though, when Tom talks about that, where we're moving into in the SEC.
Well, yeah. Now, if you're talking about baseball weekend, yeah, it's going to be a big weekend. If if you're speaking of the, you know, what they were talking about with the divisions and all that, I don't think that's going to happen. I think just because something was leaked, you know, in quotation marks, doesn't mean it was a seriously considered document. I don't think anybody could look at that and say, well, that's even a halfway good alignment for fair football, you know, in terms of what your leagues would look like. So I don't see anything to that. I may be wrong, but that would be my immediate take.
I just don't. I guess my question is, like, how they would work that out with ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC. If there was an appetite from Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, and the other big wigs across the United States that handled these conferences, in addition to Jimmy Pitaro at ESPN and some of the other guys that handled the content over there, like, how they would make that work. I guess there's always ways and lawyers and contracts to figure that out. But if they have an appetite, because if they have an appetite for it, then I do think this is possible.
Well, why would the SEC and the Big Ten break up so you can have a whole bunch of little divisions nationwide?
That's another good question, especially with the college football playoff.
It's not going to happen.
It's 40%, I think, is what they're getting from the college football playoff, just those two. If I remember that right, I know they get a higher amount than the other press conferences. That would be the biggest, I would probably say, the biggest pushback from any SEC schools. I think you're exactly right there.
I don't think that's a seriously considered document. I think it was something that was leaked out. I have a hard time believing that anyone that's involved in serious discussion about what's going to happen with the college football alignment moving forward, that's not a document that could be taken seriously.
I just
don't think there's anything to it.
Well, Twitter trolls a time or two get the best of
me.
Well,
no, I understand how it all works, and I know it sparked a lot of conversation. I saw it, and I know it sparked a lot of conversation, but I just don't think you can look at the way they've got that broken down and say, hey, that's a serious proposal. That's just somebody doodling on their legal file in the middle of a meeting was my immediate impression.
Gentle Ben now joins us on the McLarty-Daniel hotline, a legend in this state. What's up,
Gentle one.
He's a legend.
Yeah. See if he can get a better connection. We'll try and get him back on the line. It was good. We were asking him, Tommy, you and I were asking about him off air a couple weeks ago. It's good to hear his voice for first time in a while.
Great to hear. You don't hear from somebody in a long while. You hope they're well. You hope they're with us. And it's great to hear Ben's voice.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure. I know he's excited about this upcoming basketball season. I think he had a question about recruiting. He said it's just fun time to be in Arkansas Ridgeback right now. You think about, so you have the number two baseball team. You've gotten the most national media attention that you've maybe had in the last decade or so, outside of kind of bad stuff that's happened. It seems like it's more bad stuff than anything. And you just had your spring football game. So there has been, again, a lot of questions about this Arkansas Razorback athletics department. I want to come back on this because I've thought about this for a week or so now, and we've asked this question. I know that John Tyson and Warren Stevens, and I listened to y'all's conversation with Clay last week, and they get the majority of the credit, which is fine. But as I continue on, I've been in closed-door meetings. I've been in situations where I'm asked to close something or I'm asked to figure something out, and I've failed or I haven't come through. And I just think where this basketball thing was after Musk left and the perceived perception that you were missing on coaches, whether righteous or whether valid or not, I do think that, again, we come back to the idea that Hunter Yurecek really, really nailed this. And he was getting some pushback based on what happened last football season, based on some other things. But he really, really came through when Arkansas athletics needed him to. And I know he's come out and said kind of how the pinch went and stuff. But he definitely deserves credit looking back on this hire.
A lot of people deserve credit. He's certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring John Calipari lifted the spirits of our state. And I think that's the greatest dividend from all of this. I'm not talking about NIL. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about the spirit of our state that you feel when you walk into any business, that you feel when you pass your family or friends or even people you don't know on the street. That's what was lifted. And I think it's made a difference just in the psyche of our state in the week since it's transpired. We feel a little better about ourselves, whether that's justified or not. We do. And that's the result of this, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you want to make moves, good or bad, make changes. You got to have the money and the resources to do it. I'm glad he had the support of Warren Stevens, John Tyson, and others to make this historic move, I would call it, for Arkansas. You've never hired a coach quite like this. So you got to have the support of others to do that.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Peyton Stovall had quite a snag last night against Texas Tech. Led off, and along with Nolan Souza, in innings 1 and 2 at the home run, and then made himself quite a play last night.
Runner holds, 0-2, lined, and a diving catch, Stovall. He does not throw to first base. What a catch by Peyton Stovall. Right up the middle, diving to his right, robbing what looked like a sure hit from Kevin Bazell.
Guys, we knew he was a major leaguer when he got to campus from Hodden, Louisiana. You're lucky to get him. He wasn't drafted high enough, or the money wasn't right. I know he hasn't been fully healthy the last couple of years, but whether it's hitting in the leadoff spot or fielding, you know this guy's going to be playing at the next level coming up in a couple years.
Yeah, now he was offered a lot of money, and he turned it down to come play for Arkansas. So he wanted the college experience, and he's a great player. I mean, he's a ball player. You know, look at how many different spots has he played at since he's been here. I mean, he's a ball player. You pick your spot, and he'll be good.
I thought he was underrated at first for this baseball team when he was a freshman. Made some great picks every once in a while, and then really started to get hitting this year. Really improved in that category. Especially Dave always talks about, it's like his hitting went up when he started SEC play as he came back from injury. So a big part of this team's win, not just last night, but the last two games.
Being healthy is a big part of performance. And, you know, I don't care how good you are. When you've got nagging injuries and little things here and there, or big things that you're trying to come back from, that's hard to do. And he's made it look seamless.
Yep. This baseball team down back-to-back nights, found a way to win last night. Here's what Dave Van Horn said specifically on this Game 2 win.
Emotional win last night, quick turnaround. Guys go to class, you know, come back, we eat at noon, and here we go, and play few different guys today and give them another opportunity, or their first opportunity this week, and it's different guys. And again, we got behind, fought back, and we could have just kind of said, okay, well, we got ours yesterday, it's not going our way. But you know, they just kept swinging and getting on base, and it's grinded out some at bats, got some walks, hit by pitch, and manufactured that run there in the eighth, and that ended up being the big run.
It wasn't the prettiest last night, but again, what's a characteristic about this team over and over, not just in midweek games, but against SEC teams, is even when they're down, they find ways to win.
This team's been so good that we tend to pass our judgment on every game on whether or not Arkansas dominated the opponent. And we feel like if they didn't dominate the opponent, well, you know, it wasn't the best game. But baseball's not like that. This is not like football, where you can be the dominant team and every week you go out and beat people, or like basketball, you beat them by 15 or 20. In baseball, you can be the dominant team, as Arkansas, I think, was for two games. and win close games. Good teams play close games against each other. Dominant teams don't become dominant because they bash somebody's brains in over the course of a weekend. They become dominant by consistently winning close games. Because when you get into the NCAA tournament, or really, you know, any kind of postseason, the games are going to be close because everybody's good. So I think sometimes when we look at this team, we've got to pass our judgment not just on whether or not they beat somebody's brains in over the weekend, but are they consistently winning the type games that you're going to have to win in late May and early June? They're winning those type games. I think these two games were as encouraging as anything they've done over the last month, because that was an NCAA tournament type team. And those are the teams you have to get by. And all those teams are good enough to play you close. And as we've seen in the past, they're good enough to beat you, too. So I was really encouraged by what happened the last couple of days.
Yeah, got to have the pitching to win it. We know that Arkansas's got it. You look at their losses, and I don't have them all committed to memory, but, you lost a close one at Auburn this past weekend with Alabama. You know, you lost one of those games, the final one, 5-0. Arkansas has proven and has gained confidence in the ability to win 4-3, 3-2, some of these lower numbers, and that I think will serve them well come June.
All right, last thing here. Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
I was just going to say that's one of the reasons I'm not worried about the offense. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried that they lost a game a couple of years ago because they didn't hit well in the College World Series. I don't think that has anything to do with what's going on right now. I think there's an ebb and a flow to the season. They are, 33-5? I'm not complaining.
Last thing here, your Hog update. Big Z officially signs with the Arkansas Razorback basketball team yesterday. Zvonimir Visic. Chuck, how'd I do? 6 out of 10?
Well, you're in the ballpark.
In the ballpark. Okay. Well, you got that yesterday. You probably have some more news on Arkansas basketball and some signings maybe by the end of the weekend, maybe early next week. We'll have to wait and see. We will keep you updated right here on the Morning Rush, Halftime, and Ruskin and Zach on this Arkansas basketball program. That is your Hog Update this morning, brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, we're going to try Gentle Ben one more time in Saline County, as they like to say it down there. Gentle Ben, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Saline County boy. Can you hear me now?
We sound a lot better.
Okay, good deal. Okay, this is said by other fans, and, Chuck probably taught us this, too, that one thing is fun. It's fun to be a Razorback right now, because in sports and fandom and all like that, if you have hope, it just makes it a lot better. When you're a fan and you don't have hope, and you want to try to pump up the hope, but it's not there, as far as the future. And that's the way I felt a few months ago. But now I've got hope for my three favorite sports: football, basketball, and baseball. And it's just fun being, because of the hope that I can have now. For right now in baseball, if we're playing that championship game to win it, we're going to catch the foul ball, and the second baseman is going to go try to, get it after that right fielder calls him off, and then we're going to go to basketball, and we know all the stuff that's going great with basketball, with Calipari and everything, but the football might be the hardest as far as having to have the most hope, because you got to have about 44 players that you can count on to execute, 22 on defense and 22 on offense, count the first and second string. So anyway, I know I said a lot, probably took more time than I should, but I'm just fired up, and I think we're gonna do those good things. So anyway, that's what I got.
Well, I think General Ben just hit on the essence of the whole thing, is that you're in the business of selling hope. I've always said that you're in the business of selling hope. That's what sports is about, is hope. And if you can sell it well, you're a good salesman, I'll put it that way.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Have you heard? Sling TV offers the news you love for less.
Hey, wait. You look and sound just like me. I am you. I'm the same news programs on Sling TV for less.
You mean you're me, but for less money.
A lot less. I'm all the favorite news programs and more on Sling TV starting at just $40 a month.
Everything great about me, but for less money?
Which makes me greater, don't you think? Get the news you love and more for less. Start saving today. Visit sling.com to see your offer.
Sling.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So we got an update yesterday on some of the things that Arkansas fans have been wondering about when it comes to Carter Knox, which he has Chicken Man in his bio, which I thought was kind of funny. So Travis Branham kind of shared the backstory, and not just that, but his relationship with John Calipari. For those that don't know, Carter is one of the former Kentucky commits that is decommitted from that basketball program. A lot of people are leaking him to Fayetteville. Here's what Travis had to say about the potential of adding Knox to this class.
Carter Knox to me seems like most likely guarantee of a kid to follow him over to Arkansas from Kentucky. He coaches older brother Kevin Knox, obviously got Carter committed not long ago back in March to Kentucky, and he was actually the very first to decommit from Kentucky shortly after all the news started breaking that John Calipari would be coming a Razorback next season. With the Chicken Man thing, he may be referencing covering Carter Knox. He has an obsession with McDonald's McChicken sandwiches.
Ah.
Like an obsession. So when he puts Chicken Man in there instead of Burger Boy, when you're a McDonald's All-American, all these kids like to call themselves Burger Boys. Wouldn't be surprised if he was calling himself a Chicken Man, because when he goes to McDonald's, he's rocking out with a chicken sandwich. I would be shocked if he doesn't end up an Arkansas Razorback. I really would.
Heard the end of that. I would be shocked if he doesn't end up an Arkansas Razorback. And guys, I know that everyone's subject to change their minds. Everyone's subject to have a different phase of heart, but it sure sounds like it. It's not just Travis that thinks this. I know that he just got a crystal ball yesterday from a Kentucky reporter to end up at Arkansas. Sure seems like that Carter Knox may be one of the next additions to hear your basketball program in Fayetteville.
Well, I think all those guys are in play. You know, there's no question about that. I'll go back to something I've said before, that, you know, there are going to be some situations where they wait. Now, whether or not it's with this guy, I don't know. Here's the thing that I think that you know, we have to understand is, number one, this is a whole new regime that's come in here. They're not going to call everybody up and go, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. You know, they're gonna go about their business. They're new. Everything's different now. And, you know, Cal's been out on the road, and I know his staff has as well. They're looking at players. I'm sure they've got in their minds, and any coach would. They've got that roster filled out already. Yeah, you know, it doesn't mean it's all going to happen the way they've got it, you know, planned out, but I think there's a pretty good chance most of it will.
I think you made a really important point on the show and the podcast the last couple of days is you've got so many players that you're after right now that are also going through draft evaluation, not just the Kentucky kids, but for example, there's reports out there that Jeremy Roach, who played at Duke, he played twice, once in San Francisco, once in Bud Walton this past season, may have some interest in Kentucky. Now, if Cal and Kentucky have, or excuse me, in Arkansas. Now, if Cal and Arkansas have interest in him, we'll see if that plays out. But that's just one lone example of this whole process that, as you just said, we're having to recalibrate and rethink when it comes to recruiting with Arkansas basketball.
See, I saw two stories on Jeremy Roach. For those who don't know, he's point guard at Duke and great player. I saw one story that says Roach enters the transfer portal, considering Arkansas and the other schools that you named. I read another story, Roach exploring NBA opportunities. That was the headline. So when you're dealing with these kinds of players, they got lots of options. Now, if they choose to play college basketball this coming year, yeah, I think Arkansas is in on every single one of them. You know, we played an interview that Cal did with Big Z when he signed with Kentucky. I played it on the podcast yesterday. The interesting thing in the interview to me, the most interesting question was when Cal asked him why college. You know, and I think that everyone's got a different reason. For him, it was because that was important to his mother. It's important to his family. It's why, you know, why he came to the United States in large part. It may not be that way for somebody else. Everybody's situation's different. So, you know, why do you want to play in college? Why college? I think is one of the questions that these kids ask before they even get to, well, what about Arkansas or what about Cal? I think there's just a lot of things all these kids have to process. And when you're talking about great players who are going to play professionally, those things are always going to come into play. We've not had to deal with that a whole lot around here.
And if I remember,
but it's going to be part of the landscape now.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I think Adam Silver disbanded the G League Ignite team or whatever. So that's,
I saw where Ron Holland declared for the draft.
Yeah, so that's possible. And then you lost Ron Holland for, okay, let me reframe that. You potentially lost Ron Holland if it was between you and the G League. You lost him last year. So with Cal going out, he was the number one prospect in the country. With Cal going after that similar type, you at least don't have to go up against that, it sounds like, moving forward.
It sounds like that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk to Brent, who's in Searcy this morning here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. What's up, Brent?
What's up, Tommy and Chuck?
Brent.
You know, who is the new guy on the board this morning, Ty?
Carter Knox, is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about the decommit that they just
talking
said?
About? No, here at the radio.
On your radio board.
Who answered his call?
Oh,
Colton. Who answered his call?
Colton, sorry. Colton.
Where's Big C today?
He's here. He's right here.
Okay. I was worried about him. A day without speaking to him on the phone on the first line is a day without sunshine. But I just got to tell you about this Calipari stuff. This is must listen to radio every day because you never know what's going to happen. Chuck, I am truly worried about it when you get on the call. How is our man Coach Z going to, when he gets excited and gets talking about Big Z? How's he going to handle it?
Well, he's going to call him Big Z.
Coach Z.
I hope he does.
We got two Z's now.
Coach Z and Big Z, Brent.
The little one and the big one.
Yeah.
Mini Z and Big Z. Yeah, okay, there you go.
That's right.
Can I ask you a question about this is about football, Chuck. You know why I'm excited about the football team this year?
Why is that?
Well, Chuck, for the first time in a year, I really thought offensively at the spring game, we looked like a well-coached football team offensively.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. I don't know about, you know, I won't get into the timeline of when the last time they looked that way, but I sure thought they looked that way Saturday. And look, I don't believe this is the finished product either. I don't believe for one single second that Bobby Petrino is looking at that offense and going, hey, we're ready. I guarantee you he's not doing that. So, but I also have full confidence that we will be a good offense next year. I'm not saying it'll be a juggernaut first week out, but it's going to be better and it's going to be good.
I had and I know that media members' opinions aren't always validated in interplay, but I did have a few people within the SEC footprint texting me that Taylor Green looked pretty good. And Chuck, you saw it firsthand. We had heard about his deep ball coming over from Boise State. But the pocket passes to both Andrew Armstrong and Tyrone Broden, both for touchdowns, I thought they were clean, man.
He's got all the skills. There's no doubt about it. You're going to get into game situations, though. Other teams are going to show you things you hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. You're going to be playing against better players. The bullets are going to be flying. There's going to be full stadiums, people yelling. Nobody's, you know, there's not going to be a whole, you know, there'll be some Razorback fans in Stillwater, but most of them are going to be wearing orange. So, I mean, all those things are going to come up. But, yes, there's every reason when you look at him, there's no question he's got the skill set. There's no question that he's got that. I think he'll be even better when they turn him loose and let him run. But a lot of the things that are going to be the difference, so to speak, are going to happen during the ball game. How he reacts, how he reads, the throws he makes, what he sees, all that stuff's going to determine how good he really is. But there's reason to be optimistic.
Chuck, we focus so much on Green. We haven't spent a lot of time discussing Travis Williams' defense. What were your takeaways and thoughts from how the defense looked on Saturday?
I like Brad Spence, man. I think that guy's a football player. He's a sophomore linebacker. He was good as a freshman. That guy's a ball player now. He can play. I think they got to get a little more depth on the defensive line. If I was looking at it and saying, all right, this is a spot where you right now you can't afford to have anybody get hurt. You know, at least not very many of them. And I think that's going to be addressed in the portal. I am not – I know some people, and with good reason, you know, look at it and go, hey, man, you know, who are your linebackers going to be? They got a bunch of good ones there. You know, all of them are good, and they'll be fine there. I'm interested to see if Danico Slaughter, transfer from Tennessee, ends up being the nickel when we get to the regular season. I think he's going to be. I know they really like him, and I think he adds something to that secondary. You know, you got to make sure you're solid at the corner spots. I mean, you got to make sure you're solid there. And I think there's the potential for him. I think they were a solid defense last year. I think they'll be a solid defense again this year too.
I wonder, as we stay on the subject of football, and we got Sterling. Sterling, we'll get to you in just one sec. We oftentimes see young players take that big step from their freshman to sophomore year. I know both Luke Haz and Jalen Braxton were all freshman team, and to stay on the defensive side of the ball, you lose probably your best cover corner in Dwight McLaughlin. I wonder if Jalen Braxton can slide into that role this year, because we saw what he could do even as a true freshman. I wonder if he can expand his game and take even a bigger step where he maybe becomes that alpha dog that McLaughlin was last year.
Could be. He certainly got the skills to do it. There's no doubt about that.
All right, let's talk to Sterling, who's in Center Ridge. We hadn't mentioned it too much with Chuck this morning, but the passing of Whitey Herzog earlier this week. Sterling, you had some thoughts on that, man.
I just want to talk a little bit about Herzog, and it's nice to follow Hall of Fame callers such as the great Ben O'Dean and Brent, legends of the game. Guys, Whitey Herzog made being a small, fast guy sexy and fun. You know, just big long ball, and then, you know, back in the, I forget the time period, but those commercials took this, but in the 80s, it was speed, Whitey ball, exciting. I mean, and playing to the dimensions of your ballpark, 414 center field,
the alleys at 380 and 390. And that AstroTurf, fast ground balls, get through the turf. And you need speed in the outfield to cut balls off and get the ball back in. And he built a team that was tailor-made for his ball card. And frankly, I've never seen before. I haven't seen since. In the World Series, he had guys tag up third and second coming home along with five balls. That was the speed that they had. And, you know, we had Coleman. So, you know, when I grew up, stealing 100 bases wasn't no big deal. Now, I don't know when the last time someone stole 100 bases. With the rule changes, nobody stole 100 last season. They made a big deal about Acuna stealing 70.
Some guys don't steal 100 bases in their whole careers.
That's right. And, you know, Vince was doing that year in, year out. And Ozzy and Woody McGee winning MVP with a handful of home runs. I mean, it's my wheelhouse. And I don't think he gets enough credit for not only being an outstanding manager, but he was running the team. He was running the St. Louis Cardinals. He was making trades. He was de facto GM, more or less, and did a fabulous job for many years, and great job at Kansas City. You know, he did win three division titles at Kansas City, just ran into those Yankees every year in the late 70s. So I just think he's one of the most underrated, underappreciated, unless you're in this area of the country, of course. But I think naturally, he don't get the credit he deserves. And what you think about that, Chuck? And just like Brent and Jim being real excited about Razorback Athletics right now. Guys, thank you for the bond.
Yeah, I became a Cardinal fan in like 1970, you know, when I was a kid, maybe 6 or 7 years old. The 70s were bad, man. I mean, they were bad. Cardinals were horrible. Then Whitey came over from Kansas City, signed Daryl Porter, traded Ted Simmons. I thought the world was ending. I loved Ted Simmons, man. I just hated it. Ended up trading Gary Templeton for Ozzy. Rebuilt that team in the image of virtually every National League ballpark. They were all cookie-cutter ballparks. As a society, we were fascinated with AstroTurf. Every stadium had to have AstroTurf. They just beat the ball into the ground and took off. But, you know, for Cardinal fans of my generation, Whitey was baseball. I mean, the old hands listening to this show right now know in the 80s, how many conversations include, well, you know, Whitey always says, or Whitey does it this way, or Whitey says he'd do this here. He was our barometer in terms of baseball. And, you know, for Cardinal fans, the Herzog era and the La Russa era, you know, they were the best. And, you know, based on the way they run the franchise now, I don't know that we'll ever see two like them again. So, you know, Herzog was, he was baseball. To Cardinal fans in the 80s, he was the first, last. He was the alpha and the omega when it comes to baseball. And I've thought a lot the last couple of days about Bruce Sutter striking out Gorman Thomas and Daryl Porter jumping up in the air. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was 19 years old. All right. Thanks for indulging me down memory lane there. Let's get back to center.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain or bruising at the injection site, Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.